Tobacco public relations experts and anti-smoking activists got kicked in the pants by satirist Christopher Buckley in his novel Thank You for Smoking. Buckley is a former speechwriter for George Bush and is the author of the bestseller The White House Mess, a satire of White House memoirs. He's the son of famed conservative writer William F. Buckley. I spoke with Christopher Buckley about Thank You for Smoking when it was published in 1994.
The basic premise of the book is a group of Washington spokesmen for dangerous industries. The hero of the book is a guy named Nick Naylor, who, as you might guess from his name, is the chief spokesman for the tobacco industry. His two best friends are a woman named Polly, who's the chief spokeswoman for the liquor industry, which in this case calls itself the Moderation Council, and a fellow named Bobby Jay, who is the chief spokesman for the gun industry, which in this instance calls itself SAFETY, which stands for the Society for the Advancement of Firearms and Effective Training of Youth, formerly the National Right to Bear Arms Committee. And collectively, they call themselves the Mod Squad, which stands for, not for the TV show, but for Merchants of Death. So it's about sort of yuppie, likable yuppie mass murderers, if you will.
Let's see how your character, Nick, your spokesperson for the cigarette industry, handles himself on the Larry King show. And your character has basically told Larry King that 96% of heavy smokers never get seriously ill. You want to pick it up from there?
Sure. "Where does that figure come from?" said Larry. "From the National Institutes of Health, right here in Bethesda, Maryland." Nick thought to himself, "Let NIH deny it tomorrow. Tomorrow people would be on to the next thing. Bosnia, tax increases, Sharon Stone's new movie, Patty Davis's latest novel about what a bitch her mother was." As long as he was at it, he threw in, "And from the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia." "That is news," Larry shrugged. Larry was basically too polite to accuse his guests of being shameless liars. It was probably why Ross Perot liked him so much. With any luck, no one from NIH or CDC would be watching. "Of course," Nick said, "neither Secretary Furioso nor the Surgeon General, both of whom continue to refuse to debate with me on the issues, want you to know that, or their budgets will go down. Sad, but true." "Interesting," said Larry. "There are a lot of things," Nick sighed, "that the government doesn't want people to know about tobacco, such as," Nick thought to himself, what? "The indisputable scientific fact that it retards the onset of Parkinson's disease." Larry said, "So you're saying we should all wait till we're 65 and then start smoking like crazy?" "Well, Larry, we don't advocate that anyone should take up smoking. We're just here to provide the scientific facts."
Well, thanks for reading that. That's Christopher Buckley reading from his new book, Thank You for Smoking. You've said the inspiration for this book came from watching the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour and watching somebody from the Tobacco Institute defending tobacco. What interested you so much in watching somebody defending smoking, people who are paid to defend it?
Their motivation. I didn't know anyone I went to college with whose ambition was to become the chief spokesman for the tobacco industry, or for that matter, the liquor industry or the gun industry. I wondered how, you know, 30-something, 40-something, you know, attractive yuppies ended up in this, doing this for a living. So I, having decided to write the book, I called them up, and I was mildly disingenuous about what my motives were. I said that I told them I was researching a book on neo-Puritanism, which Thank You for Smoking also is, and that I wanted to hang out with them and see what it was like to have to, you know, be in the front lines of the of all these anti-movements. And their motivation in the end turned out to be a little more prosaic than inspirational. At the end of the second meeting with this cigarette lady, I was dying to ask her, "What's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?" Of course, being a sensitive 90s male, I don't talk like that, Terry. So instead I asked her, "What's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?" And she, I remember very clearly, she She exhaled her lungful of smoke and shrugged, a very sort of sexy Lauren Bacall shrug, and said, "I'm just paying the mortgage." And thus was born Nick's yuppie Nuremberg defense. "I was only paying the mortgage." It was the motivation that interested me.
Was it entertaining for you to try to come up with speeches for Nick to defend the tobacco industry with?
Absolutely. It was actually, though I find writing very hard, this was kind of fun to do. There you are. You're the front man for an industry that kills, 435,000 human beings a year? That's just American human beings. And what do you say, when you go on the Oprah show and you find yourself, on with the head of the Anti-Smoking Office of Health and Human Services and the head of Mothers Against Teenage Smoking, and then, what's this? A bald teenager, bald down, including no eyebrows. Turns out he has cancer from smoking. What do you do? At the technical level, it's a hell of a challenge.
Well, I love what you gave your character to do. I mean, Nick is very funny and can think on his feet. So in the middle of the Oprah show, and you just described all the other guests, he asks for a cigarette. And you want to explain why?
Yeah, Oprah has just given her introduction where she's talked about the 435,000 deaths per year. She's talked about RJR's Old Joe Camel promotion, which has hooked millions of American kids. More kids can recognize Old Joe now than do Mickey Mouse. She's introduced all the other guests, all of whom are just fire-breathing anti-smokers. And then the last one is this poor 19-year-old teenager who's clearly dying of cancer and has had radiation treatments. And then she introduces Nick, and the audience is glowering at him. And so what does Nick do? He pulls out a cigarette and asks and says, "Do you mind if I smoke?" And there's this gasp in the audience. And she says, "You want to smoke?" And he says, "Well, I understand it's traditional to offer the condemned man one last cigarette." And that kind of breaks the ice. And the audience actually, one person in the audience starts to laugh. And then other people in the audience starts to laugh, to the great annoyance of the anti-smokers on the panel.
You've watched all the TV shows with all the smoking industry people defending cigarettes. What's the most incredible or interesting defense that you've heard them give?
Well, the obvious defense is that it's a free country, and 45 million Americans want to smoke. It's a legal product. They ought to be allowed to smoke as long as they don't blow it into your lungs. Believe it or not, there is some good news about not smoking but nicotine, which the anti-smoking movement doesn't really like to bring up. But in fact, there is strong medical evidence to suggest, as I read in that section of the book, that nicotine retards the onset of Parkinson's. Smokers have a 50% less rate of Alzheimer's disease. They have a 50% less incidence of endometrial cancer. Believe it or not, I guess God made nicotine for a reason. They could sort of hit it on that angle, but that they can't, because they're a little hamstrung, because you can't make health claims for these things. It would be a little bit ridiculous if they went up before the Waxman Committee and said, "Well, but look at the evidence about smoking and Parkinson's disease." There'd be loud guffaws from the back of the room. So I guess I guess they're stuck with, it's a legal product. 45 million Americans want to smoke. Under the Constitution of the United States, under the tenets of Adam Smith, someone's going to supply him with that tobacco. Why not us?
Christopher Buckley, recorded in 1994 after the publication of his novel, Thank You for Smoking. This is Fresh Air.